As Raven battled Greenpeace, the international oil company he most admired after his own, Royal Dutch Shell, stunned stock market investors by revealing that it had overstated its true proven reserves of oil and gas. The company eventually calculated that it had puffed up its holdings by 4.35 billion barrels of oil, an amount equivalent to more than a fifth of ExxonMobil's total proved reserves worldwide. Three top Shell executives resigned. The scandal made plain that the pressure on the very largest international oil companies to replace reserves in the era of resource nationalism had become so severe that it could induce grotesque distortions. Shell's revelation galvanized regulators at the Securities and Exchange Commission in Washington to look at reserve counting and reporting practices by major American oil corporations. That review, in turn, brought fresh attention to a practice ExxonMobil had gotten away with for many years. The corporation claimed each winter in press releases and in Wall Street presentations that it had an unbroken record, dating back to 1993, of replacing, through new reserve additions, at least 100% of the oil and gas it pumped or otherwise disposed of each year. But the assumptions ExxonMobil used in making these public claims did not conform to SEC regulations, and the Commission and its staff had done nothing, under either the Clinton or Bush administrations, to force ExxonMobil to modify its public statements. To protect stock market investors from oil operators that inflated their reserves to boost their share prices, Congress had mandated in the Securities Act of 1933 and the Securities Exchange Act of 1934 that Washington regulators oversee how publicly traded companies reported their numbers. The SEC had later issued detailed regulations, under what was known as Rule 410, about how a corporation such as Exxon should count its oil and gas holdings and report them in mandatory SEC filings. Among the regulations, to report proved reserves, a company had to show there was a reasonable certainty that the reserves would be recoverable in future years from known reservoirs under existing economic and operating conditions. That meant, too, a company had to be able to transport the oil to market by sea or pipeline at a profit-making cost. This was obviously an imprecise standard. The reserves being counted were by their nature difficult to measure scientifically, so oil companies retained some discretion to decide what was proved and what was not. The SEC rules were also in some respects arbitrary. To calculate the economic viability of reserves, companies were required to mark oil prices on the last date of every year, no matter how that day's price compared to recent averages. Also, certain forms of oil, such as bitumen or oil sands extracted by techniques that resembled mining, could not be counted. The latter rule was the main reason ExxonMobil's public claims about reserve replacement differed from the disclosures it made officially in SEC filings. If ExxonMobil had not disregarded the SEC oil sands rule in reporting reserve replacement publicly, it would not have been able to boast of an unblemished record. This marks the 10th year in a row that we've exceeded 100% reserves replacement, Raymond declared in a press release disclosing the 2003 results. Yet that was true only by using ExxonMobil math. According to SEC rules, the corporation had replaced reserves fully in only two of the previous 4 years. And the fudging was material to investors. As Raymond put it himself, "Continued high-quality additions to ExxonMobil's resource base are the foundation of our long-term profitable growth." As Wall Street focused in on reserves, and as ExxonMobil implemented OIMS, Raymond tightened and made uniform the corporation's reserve classification rules. The system's stated goals included objectivity and rigor. A well-established, disciplined process driven by senior-level geoscience and engineering professionals, culminating in reviews with and approval by senior management. Notably, no employee is compensated based on the level of proved reserves. Such bonus incentives had apparently contributed to Shell's overstatements. ExxonMobil eschewed them even before the Shell scandal broke. By all accounts, Raymond genuinely wanted order and accuracy. In financial management, for example, to complement OIMS, he created the Controls Integrity Management System, or CIMS, a financial audit and risk management system designed to identify and root out managers who cut corners, massaged revenue reporting, or fiddled with expense accounts. Many corporations tolerated split contracts or other gray area accounting practices designed to smooth out quarterly earnings reported to the public so that shareholders might see a picture of stability. At ExxonMobil under Raymond, such accounting manipulation could be a firing offense. Raymond would also order employees terminated over tiny expense irregularities. On oil and gas reserve counting, however, the system tolerated more flexibility. SEC rules effectively allowed oil companies to manage the timing of announcements of new proved reserves. This helped ExxonMobil control when new proved reserves were revealed publicly, and by doing so, aided its effort to portray a steady story of year-by-year reserve replacement for Wall Street. ExxonMobil's internal rules held, for example, that for reserves to be counted as proved, the corporation's management must have authorized investment for their development. This was an admirably rigorous standard, but it also meant, as a practical matter, that the management committee could adjust the annual timing of proved reserve additions by synchronizing investment decisions. The key to reserves, among other things, is when you can actually book them, an executive involved in the process said. You can't and you shouldn't book reserves until you've really made an investment to develop the reserves. So, consequently, if you've figured out a way to manage the system properly, consistent with the continuity of capital budgeting, you can have a pretty smooth reserve identification over time. As the Wall Street analyst Mark Gilman put it, if you are conservative about when you book reserves during the development of projects, in effect, you create an inventory going forward that can be declared as new proved reserves as the timing of reserve replacement announcements requires.